You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
My name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here. So if you're a guest or a visitor, we're glad that you've come to join us today. We are concluding our series that we started a few weeks ago called Relationship Status. Relationship Status. Today's title is Parents and Children. Parents and Children. How many of you know somebody who builds houses? I've known a couple of people who've built their own homes and their own houses. I've never built my own house, but I've heard about what it takes to build houses. And if you're not that skilled in building a house or you have no background in doing so, it's a very tricky process because it can cost you beyond what you initially set out as a budget. And sometimes the quality of the work or the way the house is built may not be built up to standard if you do not know what you are doing. And in many ways, that's somehow what how it's like when we try to build our families. You know, when you start off with your own family, of course, all of us in one way, form, or another came out from our own family backgrounds. And when we become parents for the first time, we come into it thinking and anticipating that we know what to do. But how many of you, when you first became parents, felt like an expert? You felt like, yeah, I'm an expert parent, first child. None of us. See, no hands are going up because the first time you have a child is so different. Even though you may have read books about it, you know, there's all kinds of books that are coming out. You may have seen a YouTube video. You may have attended a seminar on how to do effective parenting. But you don't really know what it's like until you have your own child. And it's a big learning curve. I love being a parent. I do. I love being a parent. There are days when it's challenging, especially when your kids are young. A statement that helped me get perspective on that was, days are long, years are short. And that is true. Now that, you know, we've got a teenager, that's really true. You cherish those times when your kid was little, and you could enjoy that. Now my son is bigger than me, so it's really hard for me to carry him around. It doesn't happen. I'll injure myself if I do that. But, you know, parenting and being a child is part of relationships. That's what God has formed in us, whether you are part of a complete family or a single family household. God expects us, when we become part of families, to lead our children in a way that He desires. Because when we lean on the expert builder, which is God, we can build stronger families. So here's the big idea I want us to remember today. Strong families are built on solid foundations with the best materials, built and sustained by an expert builder. That's really long. I haven't even memorized that yet. But strong families are built on solid foundations with the best materials, built and sustained by an expert builder. And that is none other than God. God's idea and design for families, I believe, is the best. You may be here today, you may not be a Christian, but just, you know, I encourage you just to lean in a little bit and keep an open mind, an open heart to the things that we're going to be talking about today, because we really believe in this church that God is the one that holds the best standard, the best blueprint on how to build strong families, especially when it comes to parents and children. We're going to look at a passage this morning. In fact, we're going to look at several passages, but we're going to start with a wisdom psalm. There are all kinds of psalms, but this particular psalm is called a wisdom psalm. It's similar to the book of Proverbs in the way that it's written because of the wisdom nuggets that you could take from it. The wisdom psalm is Psalm 127. We're going to read the entire psalm. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, The builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. I don't know about you, but if you've ever tried to take care of a toddler with your own strength, it is tiring. It is tiring. The first time I became a parent, in fact, even before I became a parent, you know, I used to take care of friends' kids when I was in high school. So in high school, I played nanny. I played nanny. And that's a big job. That's a big job. You know, you come from school, you're tired from school, and a friend says, you know, can you take care of my infant? I'll pay you for it. And you're like, sure. I mean, that's money involved, so that's a yes. And you think, yeah, this is going to be easy. Just feed the baby, get him go to sleep. But sometimes, you know, babies don't want to go to sleep. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you do. You took all the tricks. You swing them, you carry them. They still don't want to go to sleep. So even though you're super tired, you don't have a choice but to take care of this infant. Now, it's good because at the end of the day, you know it's going to end. When the parent comes and picks up the child, great, you finally get to rest. But when you have your own child, that's not the case. If it's your own child, you know, there is nowhere that you could go and deposit your child at the middle of the night when you're tired. And you say, hey, can you take care of my child until I wake up in the morning? No, there's no place like that. It doesn't happen. If you've got extended family with you, hey, that's a blessing. But for some of us, you know, we don't get that luxury. And from work, you come home, you take care of your child, and you realize, man, this really is a full-time job. It's a full-time job. And when we try to do it on our own strength, when we try to take care of our children, when we try to lead our homes, build our marriages, build our families through our own strength, we get tired and weary very fast. And the thing is, that gets more challenging when we try to do it without God. I cannot imagine leading my family without the help of God. Now, I know that there are some people who don't believe in God and have done great in leading their families. But I still believe that the principles that God has set, the standards that He has set, is still the best way and form to lead families. Why? Because the way that He structured it, the trajectory is not just for this lifetime, but it is forever. And the relationships that I look forward to is something that will last not just in this lifetime, but in the life that is yet to come. And so I believe, hey, this is the way to go. And in this passage that we just read right now, the psalmist David, he's saying, you know what? So many of us in vain try to use our own strength to build our homes, to build our cities, to build our societies. But you know, if we try and try and try to do that with all of our might, we will always come up short. Why? Because all those things are temporary. All those things will last for a moment, for an era, and then it will be no more. But if we build on the principles that God gives us when it comes to home building, when it comes to building our societies, then ultimately the goal is to reach every soul for Jesus Christ, to see the souls come to faith in Christ. And it's having these relationships that begin in Christ eventually will lead towards eternity. So I want to encourage you today, as you're building your homes, as you're building your relationships in your household, whether it is with your spouse or your children, to make sure that your foundation is in God. He sets the premise here. Unless you build on God, it will be in vain. May none of us, towards the end of our season of life on earth, ever feel like, hey, I did all of those things and all of it is in vain. When I was in high school, you know, at the end of the school year, people like writing those, slam books, right? little mementos. I don't know if people do that. So this is before social media. So that was the social media of the day. At the end of the year, you people write down your favorite, your hobbies, your favorite colors, so on and so forth. And one of the statements that I saw there was by a classmate of mine, and she said, you know, no one ever said on their deathbed, I wish I spent more time in the office. Nobody ever says that on their deathbed. Everybody always says, I wish I spent more time with this person, that person, whoever it was that they longed to be with. And that's wisdom in that. The psalmist says, you know what? It's in vain. If you try to do everything, you pull everything up together, your strength, and you build it all up, and you're not focused on the right things, it will all be in vain towards the end. And so the principle that he's espousing here is the words that Jesus said hundreds of years later. And Matthew wrote it down in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all you need will be given to you. That echoes into this. If we put this as our value when it comes to our home building, when it comes to relationship building, it will not be in vain. So he sets this premise for us, and he says, hey, build it. Build your foundations on God. If you're going to build a home, if you're going to build a house, if you're going to build a society, if you're going to build any relationship, build it on God, because you cannot go wrong when you build on God. And he goes on to say in this psalm, he says, children, he segues, and he says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. And all the parents say, amen, 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 amen. Even through clenched teeth, you can say that. You can say that, amen, amen. Believe it or not, children are a blessing from the Lord. Even those that may seem stubborn right now, they are a blessing from the Lord. Come on, mom, come on, dad. They are a blessing from the Lord. Even the one that's not your favorite is a blessing from the Lord. Just don't let that be obvious to them. All right? Children are a blessing from the Lord. Why? Because they are from the Lord. And anything that God gives is a blessing. The thing is, sometimes the packaging that God gives the blessing in is not what we expect. Right? We don't always get what we expect when a gift is given to us. When you unpack it, then you discover what it is. Sometimes it's a surprise, and it's like, wow. Sometimes it's a surprise, it's like, wow. It's not always what we expect, but it's still a blessing from God. And children are that. They are a blessing from the Lord. The psalmist continues, he says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. That's usually when they come, in one's youth, right? Kids are born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. The quiver is the encasement where you put your arrows, right? Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Children are a blessing from God. Homes are to be built with God as our foundation. And as we recognize this, if we recognize that children are a blessing from God, then we will treat that blessing with the utmost care. Have you ever received a blessing that you didn't care for? Ever received a gift that you didn't take care of? Right? If somebody gives you a gift that's super expensive and valuable, the person who gave you the gift, even though it is now yours, would really wish that you would take care of it. Right? They don't want to see you next week with a frowned face saying, you know what? Thank you for the gift that you gave that was super expensive, but I broke it. It's damaged now. It's useless to me now. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And when you're up at 2 a.m. in the morning, it may not feel that way, but they are a blessing from the Lord. Sometimes you're up at 4 a.m. and it's not even an infant or a child. It's an adult. But they are still a blessing from the Lord. They're a blessing from the Lord. And as blessings are given to us, we are to treat these blessings with faithful stewardship and care. Utmost care. Why? Because God is the one that gave it to us, and he expects us to be responsible with what he has given to us in our care. In our care. So this morning, this is going to be a very practical message. It's a very practical message. Some of the stuff I'm going to be sharing with you, you probably already heard of before, but it's always good to be reminded. So listen in. How can we take care of the blessing that God gives us? If you're a parent, soon to be a parent, want to be a parent, an uncle, an aunt, all of us in one shape, form, or another are connected to a child. And it's not just a parent's responsibility when it comes to raising up the next generation. It's responsibility of each one of us, especially those of us in the family of faith. Those of us who say we follow Jesus. So if we're going to have any hopes of raising a generation of God lovers as well, a couple of things we want to remind ourselves of this morning. Number one, we need to establish their foundation in the Lord. Just like a strong builder of families, the foundation needs to be solid. The foundation needs to be immovable. We cannot build our foundations based on the changing landscape of culture, society, mores, and norms. Because these things change because due to times, fads, and seasons. But the principles in God's word remain the same. God does not change like shifting shadows. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same is true with regards to his moral codes and the principles he has put in his word in raising up families and raising up children. A couple of things that he reminds parents not to do. Paul writes it. We're going to look at several passages this morning. In Colossians, he says, "Fathers," and we should include mothers here as well, "do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged." Do you know what some of the ways that we embitter our children? By the words that leave our lips. What we say. We can either give life to them or bring death from the words that leave our lips. If we're one of those people who are quick to point out the mistakes of our children and those who are younger than us, guess what? That's probably going to heap more discouragement in their life than encouragement. You see, it's a natural outflow from people to point out the mistakes of others. Right? That's just a default mode that people have. It's against the human nature to actually bring praise and affirm the people around us. And we bring this with us sometimes in our relationships at home. And Paul obviously had observed this with some of the parents that were surrounding him. And he said, hey, this is one of the ways that we're not to raise our kids. We're supposed to speak life to them. Why? Because in the society that we live, they already get negativity around them. The moment they step out of the church, they step out of the home, the world is full of negativity. You go to school, you have bullies there. Sometimes you even have teachers who talk down on you. You have friends who make fun of you. And the moment they come back home, if it's the same thing, then it doesn't build them up. It doesn't shape them the way God wants to shape them. This past week, there was a viral video that went out on social media. Some of you probably caught it. And it's about an Australian kid. He's 9 years old, and he has dwarfism. Dwarfism is a condition where your physical growth is stunted, right? And so because of this, the mom, I guess, was at the end of her wits, really didn't know what to do, just decided to capture it on video and post it online because she was just desperate and needing people to speak into her situation. But it was so sad because you could hear in this child's voice, "Just give me a knife, I want to kill myself. I don't want to live anymore." The bullying became so extreme that he was already wanting to commit suicide. And this started when he was 4 years old. The first time media caught his attention when he was four, and it was the same thing. And 4 years later, now he's nine, it seems it hasn't stopped and it hasn't changed. This is the kind of world that we live in. Children, just like him, bullying other children, using their words to speak death into the life of others. So there's wisdom here when Paul says, parents, that shouldn't come from you. This is already happening in the world that we live in. When they come home, our homes need to be a place of refuge for our children. Our homes need to be a place where they know that they could be loved, they'll accept it, despite of the mistakes and the failures that they commit in their life, whether they're 4 years old or 25 years old, they need to know that this is a home that they can run to and that they would be loved here unconditionally. And you say, well, Pastor Chad, well, what if they make a mistake? What if what they're doing is wrong? I'm not saying condone what is wrong. I'm saying love unconditionally. See, there are seasons when we're supposed to teach our children the principles and the right things to do in life. We're supposed to do that as parents. There are seasons when it changes. But what should never change is how we love our children. Why? Because isn't that how God loved us as well? Isn't that our Heavenly Father's love for us? That's exactly how our Father loved us. We weren't of no benefit to Him, and yet He chose to love us and continues to love us despite of the mistakes and the sins that we commit over and over and over again. If our children are going to have a strong, biblical, godly foundation, they need to see God in us in the good and in the bad seasons of their life, regardless of what they are going through. How do we do this further? In the Old Testament, we got to skip in the Old Testament, God instructs Joshua some specific ways, which I believe are principles that are still worth applying today. You may say, well, that's just for the Jews. Yes, that was given to the Jews, but as followers of Jesus Christ, I believe these are principles that are worth continuing to apply in our day and age. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18, God specifically speaks to Joshua and instructs him in the way that he is to parent his children and the way that he is to teach the rest of the nation of Israel to parent his children as well. In Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18, God says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." If we're going to set a strong foundation, we need to use expert building materials. And the expert building materials that God has equipped us with are the principles of His Word. He says, fix this. Make it permanent. Make sure that your children know it. Talk about the principles of God's Word and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as you sit at home, as you travel outside the home, before you go to bed, when you wake up in the morning. He's basically saying 24 hours, 7 days a week, make sure that what you are thinking about, that what you're talking about, how you're leading your life is based on the principles of God's Word. Why? Because this is what your children will catch. You don't just talk about it, you do it. We do it. We gotta get rid of the idea, do what I say, not as I do. That should not be in the thoughts and in the minds of any Jesus follower, because that is the road to hypocrisy. And no child of a hypocrite ever became a follower of Jesus. Why? Because they saw what mom and dad are really like outside of Sunday. We don't want our children to come with us on Sunday and watch us praising God, but from Monday to Friday, see us living as if we don't have Jesus at all in our hearts. That's what causes children to walk away from faith. That's what causes young ones to say, there really isn't a God because I don't see Him real in your life 24/7. This is the reason why God teaches and admonishes Joshua, hey Josh, this is what you need to do. Don't just talk about it when you're coming to the tabernacle or when it's time to give an offering and a sacrifice to me. This needs to be seen in your life 24/7. Build them up with godly principles. Build them up using the Word of God. These are the words that we are to speak to our children, even when it comes to discipline. God's Word has principles. Did you know that? Did you know that in Proverbs, we're actually admonished to not spare the rod? Now I know we can have a discussion on this because some parents don't spank their children and some parents do spank their children. I'm just telling you that Scripture says it's actually okay to spank your children. Now there are countries where you can actually sue your parents if they spank you. In the Philippines, there's no law against that, mom and dad. Right? And parent and kids, if you're here. There's no law against that. But the point of this is you don't spank them for the sake of spanking them. Right? You don't hit. You don't cause pain for the purpose of causing pain. The purpose of this is discipline. Discipline is the purpose of this instruction that God gives to us. It's not just talking about who Jesus is and what he's like, but it's knowing when to actually implement discipline in the home. And this is where it changes over the seasons of life in the life of a child. One of the things that my wife Renee and I are looking forward to one day is to have our adult children be adults and look forward to spending time with us when they no longer live with us. You know what I mean? Because there are some children when they're adults, or even before they're adults, who cannot wait to leave the home. I wish I could go out now. I want to leave this place now. That's not part of our vision for our family. Our vision for our family is that when our kids are adults, even though they have their own life and living away from us, they will look forward to the times when they would come back home to be with us. Whether they're singles or with their families, with their grandkids. But for that to happen, do you know what needs to happen? We need to pour into them now. They say what we do with our children now impacts the kind of relationship we'll have with them when they're grown up. And so right now, we've got a 16-year-old and a 7-year-old. There's a big gap. There's a 9-year gap between the two of them. The way that we have treated each one in terms of discipline, in terms of relationship, changes over the course of time. Right? You don't discipline your 16-year-old the same way you discipline your 7-year-old. I don't spank my 16-year-old. Why? Because he can beat me up. He's bigger than me. He's taller than me. Stronger than me. Which is a good thing. But doesn't mean that I won't. I just choose not to do it. Right? I just choose not to do it. No, I mean, that stopped years ago. That stopped years ago. But we do spank in our home. We do spank in our home. Right? And he experienced that growing up. His younger sister has experienced that occasionally as well. But it's not a regular occurrence. You know, like, there's not a weekly spanking session in the household. No. Because a lot of the times, discipline takes place from simple conversation. When we treat children just like people, they respond just like people. But when you treat kids like animals, of course they're going to behave just like animals. So if there's misbehavior, if there were discipline concerns, the first step is to talk. To sit down and say, what you did was wrong. This is the first warning. This is for a child, right? And remind them, there will be consequences if you persist on doing what we instructed you not to do. It's a wrong thing to do. And it's usually up to the second or the third. If it's the third time within the day and it's repeated over time, then that's where corporal punishment is introduced. If you don't know what that is, that's basically me taking my belt off and saying, hey, let's go to the room and talk to one another. Very practical. So why do we do this? Why? Because there are times that you just need to instill a particular memory in their life. But I don't do this at the heat of the moment. Do you know how sometimes you get so full and so impatient, like your patience run out and all you see is red? That's not the time to discipline your child with a rod. No, when you see that happening, when your emotions are too pent up, that's the time for you to get out of the room and just say, okay, I need a couple of minutes to cool down, right? Endorse them to the other spouse who is more calm, and then come back and say, can we talk? Let's go to the room. You do it in private so they're not embarrassed and ashamed in front of their parent or in front of their brother or sister. You sit down and you say, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get a spank. Why? Because you disobeyed. I gave you a warning. I told you twice. This is the third time. You still haven't followed. And so at this point, there are already tears coming down their faces, and you really don't want to do it, right? No good parent ever wants to do that. You want your kids to love you, not to fear you. But you say, you know what? I have to do this because you disobeyed. I gave you warnings, and this is to remind you not to do it again. The spank happens, and they're crying, and it's not even a hard spank, man. Come on. You know, it's just, it's a spank that they'll feel, but it's not meant to leave a scar. That's not the kind of discipline you want to do. And then at the end of that, you get them up and say, explain to them again, right? You affirm them again. And you do this because we love you. Will you do it again? No, I will to do it again. So they're able to verbalize what they did that was wrong. What did you do that was wrong? Will you do it again? No, I will not do it again. Now, do I still do that with my 16-year-old? No. But with a child, yes. Because children do not know the boundaries of right and wrong. And it's up to the parents. God has given us the responsibility to be the primary disciple makers of our kids to establish that. Now, whether you do corporal punishment or not, I'm not going to argue with that. The point is, it's up to us to identify what is right, identify what is wrong, and implement discipline. Whether that discipline is a stern, sitting down, talking, or 5 minutes in the corner, right? Everybody has different systems. The point is, when discipline is implemented, we affirm them, and we continue to tell them that this is out of love for them. Discipline should never happen out of anger. It should never happen because we're frustrated. No, because we always need to seek to reflect the Father heart of God in us. And I know that's really hard to do. It's like, Pastor Chad, come on, that's really tough. You don't know my child, Pastor Chad. No, I don't know your children. But what I know is God's Spirit who resides in us will enable us and can empower us to be able to do that and reflect God's heart to our children. Why? Because this is His desire. We are to build them up through godly principles. And these are the principles that He has said in His Word. Yes, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God has a destiny for you. But God also disciplines you. God disciplines us when we make mistakes, when we commit sin, when we do something wrong. And I'm here as your parent to help you understand what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable, and what is not. If we live in a society that has no boundaries, then there will just be chaos. There will just be chaos. In fact, the book of Judges talks about that. It says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And there was just violence and death and heartache everywhere. And you know this. You know this. Or someone you know probably knows this, right? Somebody who just chooses to follow what they feel without any care of consequences. You just do what you want to do. There will always be negative consequences to that. But if we go to God's Word and say, hey, these are the principles. I'm going to choose to let this be my guiding lights. Then there is a basis for us to do these things. It's not just I thought about it or they thought about it. No. What God teaches us. And don't get me wrong, there are many principles, many things that we could learn. You know, you could attend counseling, you could go to seminars that will teach you how to be effective parents, and that's all good, and we should learn how to do that. But make sure that you measure it up against the principle of God's Word. Because ultimately, that's the principle that needs to be implemented in a home that professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As we do this, we are raising them up in the ways of God. We need to build them up with godly principles. And again, the reason for this is because of God's desire. He prophesied in the book of Malachi, and again, he echoed it in the New Testament, the book of Luke. When God talks about something twice, one in the Old Testament and again in the New Testament, we should probably listen up. This was a prophecy given to Malachi, and again, over Elijah, that was echoed later on to John the Baptist as a prophet in the New Testament. So both of them received this word from God. He said, he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. This was a word spoken over the nation of Israel because God had seen how ineffective the family unit had been in the nation of Israel. So God instructed Elijah, hey, I'm going to use you to call fathers and mothers to be reconciled to their children. I'm going to use you to call children to be reconciled back to their parents. John the Baptist, I'm going to use you to do the same. Remember, John the Baptist's message was repentance. And it wasn't just for the adults. He was calling for the adults to repent towards their kids and for kids to be repentant towards their parents so reconciliation could take place. Why? Because this is God's heart. This is his desire, that from the home that he would be known. Not the church, not the temple, not your circle group. No, from the home. If mom and dad profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, mom and dad, you are the primary disciple makers of your children, not the church. However, we do contribute together in doing this as one body. This is God's desire. And how is this supposed to happen? This only happens when we walk in humility, grace, love, and mercy between husband and wife and between parents and children. A word to the children as well. Again, it echoes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. This principle is consistent. And the word is honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. That was said first in the Old Testament. It was echoed in the New Testament again by Paul in the book of Ephesians. It's a mutual submission. Remember what we talked about last Sunday? That is the framework for households. Love one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands and wives, parents and children, children towards parents. Why? Because if I'm a child and I follow Jesus, I'm going to recognize that, hey, my mom and dad are the spiritual authority that God has given over my life. And so as I submit myself to mom and dad, I am submitting myself to Jesus. This is what I do. But what about parents? Are we supposed to be submitted to our children as well? We're supposed to lead our homes. Submission is expressed through humility. You know, one of the most powerful things I experienced as a child growing up was the first time I heard my parents say to me, I'm sorry. When I heard my parents apologize to me, I'm like, wow, parents make mistakes. And that was huge. That was huge because they showed to me that they weren't perfect. Can I tell you this morning, I'm not a perfect dad. Renee's not a perfect mom. These principles we continue to strive to grow and to develop in as parents. But the point is we have a goal. We're reaching towards it. And humility is expressed in honesty. To our children, if we make a mistake, let's own up to it, right? If we make a mistake, it doesn't matter how old your children are. If it was wrong, honesty is part of following Jesus. We can tell them, hey, I'm sorry it was a mistake. Would you forgive me? And a lot of times, the first time it happens, our children will get really shocked because it's like, whoa. Mom and dad are saying sorry for something. But it sets a standard for them as well that this is an expectation. It's a life of humility and of love and of grace that we walk towards. In our home when I was growing up, There were rules when I was young, but when I reached my teenage years, there were fewer of those rules. I didn't have a booklet of rules to follow. In fact, my dad stopped spanking me when I was in grade 4. So that was about 9 years old. So that was the last memory I have of getting spanked. It didn't mean that I had a halo and was a holy child after that, no, far from it. Because I would still get the occasional pinch from my mom followed with a twist. That's really when you're really annoying already. And it's like, you know, I just can't stand this right now. And it's immediate. It's like a ninja move. You know, you cannot know when it's going to happen. And you're making fun of mom. And all of a sudden, it comes out of nowhere. And you just feel a pain. Boom! And twist. And it's like, ow. And it makes you stop. It just makes you stop. It's a ninja move that moms have. I think all moms have that. My wife has that as well. I had rules when I was younger. But by the time I was an older teen, there were only two that I remember. One was keep us informed. And this was before mobile phones. All right? Keep us informed. That means I needed to find a land phone somewhere to tell my mom or my dad, I'm here, where I'm supposed to go, or I'm about to leave, where I'm about to leave. Right? Keep us informed. We want to be informed. The other instruction was, before you do something, ask yourself, will this honor God privately, publicly? Will it honor God? Will it honor God? Before you do it, will this honor God? Will this reflect God in your life? Those were the two main rules that I had. I didn't really have a curfew because a lot of time I was picked up, so there was no curfew. Really guarded, no choice. As an only child, I got the best and I got the worst of it as well, you know? But even in the times when I no longer needed to be picked up, I mean, it was just those two rules. There was no guilt tripping when I got home, sometimes near midnight. Glad you're home safe. Are you still hungry? Ah, that's all the questions, right? Is that, where were you? Where have you been? There was nothing like that. Because they held me accountable with regards to my faith in God. They felt that I was now accountable. It was my own faith. It was no longer them telling me how to live my life with my faith. It was now, how do I live my life before God? You're accountable to God. You're accountable to God. How will this honor God? And those became my guiding principles all the way till I was married. Today, it's the same thing that we echo. Well, right now, our eldest can't really go anywhere yet. He started going somewhere in Bangkok, and then we moved here. And so right now, he really can't go anywhere because he doesn't know how to commute yet in Manila. But it's the same thing. You know, keep us informed and decide. He was doing that in Bangkok. He was commuting with his friends, going here, there. The beauty now is you have a phone, right? You have a phone, so you don't have an excuse. Kids, if mom's calling, just answer it. Answer it, because if you don't, there's going to be trouble when you get home, right? Just answer it. I mean, it's as simple as answering, or send a text message, send a message. That's all is required. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why? Because, again, God's desire is for His presence to be felt in the home, for His love, for His grace, for His mercy to be reflected in the lives of mom and dad. When we make God as our ultimate destination, when it comes to parenting, Lord, how do I reflect your father heart to my children? Then it's not going to be difficult to figure out what to do. Because we're going to always ask ourselves, would Jesus do this? Would our father do this? Right? Now, in different seasons of life, we need discernment. There are seasons of life where you need more instructions. And then there are seasons of life where it's kind of like, hey, I've done all that I've done. This person now is responsible. They say that children develop their values in life by the time they reach about the age of 8 to 10. After that, it's pretty much what they saw growing up from the age 8 to 10 that they begin to live out in life. And my journey so far, I'm thankful and I'm grateful for parents who loved God. They weren't perfect parents, but they did love God. And I saw that lived out in their life. I heard affirmation. I also received discipline. And I don't think I turned out too bad, right? The same thing. In my own parenting experience, that is something I'm looking forward to. I mean, time will tell, right? Time will tell. They say it's only by the time your kids are adults that you could really know if you're really a good parent. I mean, I can't prove anything to you right now. But some of you in this room who have gone through that journey, these principles that we've gleaned from you, you can talk to them. Talk to other parents here who have adult children, who are serving God, who are loving God, who themselves are also parents. And they'll tell you principles that I've shared, maybe a bit more from that, that help them along the way. And really, without God's presence and His Spirit, it's going to be a struggle. Why? Because that's what the world we live in is like. The God of this age desires nothing but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what He does. That's what He does. But our kids need to always be reminded and need to always know that they can always come home. They can always come home. A place of love, of refuge, of grace, and of mercy. That's what this church is. And our prayer is that's what our homes would be like as well, wherever we are. Whether you're a single parent, complete parenting, you know, a full family, doesn't matter. God is with you, regardless of the kind of family that you have, the kind of season that you're going through. Why? Because this is His desire. His desire is to see the hearts of the sons and the daughters and moms and dads turn towards each other, bringing honor and glory to their Heavenly Father who created these families in the first place. I can't imagine, and I don't know about you, but that would really be awesome to see, right? If a few years from now, you see your kids loving God passionately, all because you faithfully love God in your own life, privately and publicly. And that is what they picked up. That is what they saw along the way. They didn't see a perfect mom and dad, but they did see a mom and dad who loves God. Whether it was a Sunday, a Monday, or any day of the week, regardless of the season. You know, one of the beauty about being part of the church is that you don't go through this alone. You know, sometimes as a parent, sometimes as a child, even as a young adult, we feel like there's really no family for me, not even here. I mean, I'm away from home, from the province, from another country. There's no family here. What do I do? This is what the church is for. This is your forever family. Regardless of wherever we are in the world, you will always find somebody who loves Jesus. And when you find somebody who loves Jesus, that becomes home. And at ICS, that's what we exist to be. That is who we are. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, that's me. I don't have a home. I don't have a place to belong. In fact, I'm an orphan, or I don't even know my mother and father. This can be your home. The people around you is your family. And all you need to do is to take a step to say, I'm willing to make that commitment today. One of the best ways that you can join this family, obviously in this setting, is a bit hard. Here in this church, we have a saying. We say that circles are better than rows. Circles are better than rows. Because these are our small group communities that become our families here. Home away from home, or a place where we can do life together outside of our weekend gatherings. And we want to encourage you, as you heard Pastor Patrick say today, to come and plug in to one of these homes, one of these groups. This morning, some of them are wearing a shirt like this. If you're a circle leader, can I ask you to stand right now? If you're a circle leader, if you're wearing a t-shirt like this, can you stand? Or if you're not wearing a t-shirt, that's okay. But if you're a circle leader, if you can stand right now, where are you? Okay, these are the guys that you can go to. So at the end of the gathering today, just approach any of these individuals. And if you say, hey, I want to be part of a circle, can you let me know how to be part of a circle or a small group community? These individuals can let you know how. These are like moms and dads, brothers and sisters in our house today. And just to tell you a little bit more, give you a bit more insight as to what a circle is like and what happens there, we're inviting one of our leaders who's part of a circle, JM, just to come and share a little bit of his experience as part of a circle community here today.
All right. Hello, yeah. Thank you, Pastor Chad. So, good morning, everyone. My name's JM. For those of you who don't know me yet, you can call me JM. Two letters, J and M. So, I was born to a Christian family. My parents served in church, specifically here at ICS. So, my mom is a Sunday school teacher, and then my dad is a pastor. So, I used to be one of those kids playing there. Actually, there was no toddler's room yet before, so we were there on the second floor. So, you know, singing Sunday school rhymes, memorizing verses, you know, reciting them, reciting memory verses. So basically, I got to hear about Jesus at a very young age. So, and then I grew up, I grew up vertically, so, and then became a teenager. But the thing is, I didn't have any permanent circle of friends. It's because they say I'm weird, you know, weirdo, you know, nerd. So they say so. I mean, okay, I'm weird. So until I reached college, I never really learned to spend time with other people, except those who I personally know of and those who are close to me. So I was in my own comfortable shell. So it was like this, you know, I'm comfortable with just myself, me, myself, and I, you know. I'm not that introvert guy, though, but, you know, because of what I experienced, I learned to, like, implode. So it's just all me. I just learned to trust myself. So I finished college and went back here in Manila. So I finished it in the province to look for a job. So guess what? I'm back here at ICS. So I was away from home. So my mom and my siblings, they live there in Tarlac, back home. It's far, 3 hours away. So my favorite spot before, that was 2013, and my favorite spot is the chair at the farthest corner of the room. So like there or there. I like that spot because I don't want to be noticed. So it's like, I just go to church. I don't want to talk to people. Like, it's just me. And then one Sunday, the service just finishing, and then this very welcoming woman came up to me and said, "Welcome! Guess who? Pastor Arbel." So it was Pastor Arbel, and she invited me to join the YA group. So back then, it was known as the LifeWorks care group. So from that time on, I became more involved in the circle. So I remember Friday nights here at the back of the stage. So Pastor Sam and Pastor Bell used to live there. It's the parsonage. We're spending time to read the Bible, we're praying for one another and encouraging one another. It was really wonderful. Relationships are important. So being part of a circle, I met new people. I was able to trust people again. And through, you know, as I was spending time with new friends here at church, I found my own family far away from home. So I don't usually go back home or go to the province more often. So I found my family here. And through this circle, I also learned to overcome my insecurities and my inhibitions. And also the skills, the gifts. I didn't know, I can sing, but I didn't know I can use it. So through the, I would call it care group back then, but through the circle, I was able to be tapped into the ministry. So I became more open to people and I started to experience growth. Not just physical growth. I know you guys, you're looking here, but it's spiritual growth, all right? So it made me realize three things. So the first thing is we can't live just on our own. God created us to be social beings. Second is we can't grow on our own. We need each other to strengthen and pray for each other Through the circles, we can discover more who God is and what His heart is about. So there are people who would like to know you, who would like to spend time with you. A circle is not just a group of people talking about Jesus. It is also your family. It is your community. So I really encourage you guys to join a circle. Indeed, it's true that circles are better than rows. So it's always better together. That's all.
So good. Doesn't matter where you're from, what your personality is like, whatever season of life you're in. You don't even have to be a Christian to be part of a circle. You just need to come. You just need to come. And when you come, I promise you, there's always usually food involved. So that always helps, you know, food is always good. And since you're in the Philippines, that's something we love doing here as well. There's always food in our gatherings. And so if you're not plugged in yet, we would love to connect with you. So connect with any of our leaders or fill up one of those cards. If you feel uncomfortable right now in making a physical connection, just fill up a card. Fill up a card and drop it in a bag or leave it at the desk outside, and we're going to get in touch with you to find out how we can grow from there. But our goal is for us to grow together as followers of Jesus in this place.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.